Good morning and welcome in to this midweek edition of The Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity, hoping that you and yours are doing well today. And just in case you didn't know, if you stand way up on your tippy toes, stretch way up high, you can see the weekend from here. Hey, hey, hey! And hopefully, we can endure the insanity for just a couple of more days until the weekend can come, and we can pretty much get back to life as normal, or as normal as it can be today. Ah, it is the Wednesday edition, November 20th, 2019, and thanks for being there. I really appreciate it. It's shaping up to be a big day. I've got things to do today, and I'm getting sucked out of the studio again. And today I have some lab work to get done because the doctor, the last time I was in, said, you know, some of these things are a little high. Why don't you come back in? I'm going to change your meds and come back in after 30 days and we'll see how this pans out. So I go back in to get needles stuck in me and other bodily fluids drained and the like today. And that's part of the day. And another part of the day will be enjoyable. I'll be having lunch with my mom. And then also working on a toilet. I know. I have the life. Aren't you jealous? I'm getting needles stuck in me, and I'm working on a toilet. But the high point of the day is I'm having lunch. Woo! Well, you know, it could be worse. It really could be worse. It could be much, much worse. Because honestly, I could be this guy, Colin Kaepernick. Bless his heart. We talked about him the other day and how this loser decided he would thumb his nose at the NFL, pitch a hissy fit, and hold his own tryout at his own location. And in the process, badmouth the NFL and the president of the NFL while he was doing it. And somehow this idiot thought he was going to get a he thought he was going to get a gig. Not only is he not talented enough and too much baggage, he's too stupid. And honestly, to be absolutely honest with you, when you consider the IQ level of some of the people who line up on a field and get their brains pounded out week after week after week, that's saying something. Yeah, he's desperate for another chance. He blew off the NFL tryout, and his agent has said he's looking for a second chance to try out for the NFL just days after blowing off his prime opportunity. 32-year-old Kaepernick was supposed to work out for about 25 teams Saturday near Atlanta, but at the last minute he opted instead to hold his own workout. His representative cited legal issues, while he emphasized he wanted the media to be able to attend. Only a few of the scouts ultimately showed up for Kaepernick show. Eight of them. Eight out of, what, they were 25 that were supposed to be there? Yeah. Afterwards, his agent, Jeff Nally, told ESPN that he sent footage of the quarterback's recent workout to all 32 NFL teams. But surprise, surprise, nobody's expressing any interest. Gee, go figure. I'll be honest, quote, I'm a little bit pessimistic because I've talked to all 32 teams. I've reached out to them recently and none of them have had any interest. Go figure. According to ESPN's Howard Bryant, Nally also said Kaepernick is considering following the NFL owners to their March meeting in Palm Beach, Florida, and holding a second workout nearby. Oh, that'll work. That'll show them. Kaepernick has alleged that the NFL is blackballing him because he knelt during that national anthem in 2016 to protest police brutality against African Americans. President Donald Trump has criticized the protest as unpatriotic and disrespectful. At his workout Saturday, Kaepernick showed up wearing a T-shirt emblazoned with Kunta Kinte, the name of a fictional American slave made famous by the 1977 Roots TV miniseries. He told assembled reporters that he is ready to play anywhere in the NFL, but the league is running from him. Quote, I've been ready for years. I've been denied for 3 years. We all know why. So we're waiting for the 32 owners, 32 teams, and League Commissioner Roger Goodell to stop running. Stop running from the truth. Stop running from the people. Oh, that'll convince them. You just run with that. Supporters of Kaepernick and his social media justice activism praised him for defying the NFL once again. Oddly enough, none of these people have jobs. They're all bloggers in their mom's basement. They're social justice warriors. Doggone it. They're changing the world. Bless their hearts. NFL columnist Mike Freeman tweeted Saturday that Kaepernick's workout proved once and for all that NFL teams are discriminating against him. Really? He actually said, this is a quote, this is his tweet. Bottom line with Kaepernick's workout is this: it demonstrated why there isn't, never was, and never will be a football reason for him to be out of the NFL. You know what? You couldn't be more correct, Mike, Mr. Freeman, sir, your honor, whatever you want to be called. You couldn't be more correct. The primary reason, the main reason that Mr. Loser Colin is not in the NFL is because he's a diva. He's too much baggage himself. He's an idiot. He's bad-mouthing the people he wants to get a job from. This is like your kid, your teenager, who knows everything, by the way, and can't be told anything. You know what I'm talking about. That teenager who rolls his eyes whenever he or she is corrected lovingly by you. Hey, that's not the way that works. Yeah, whatever. Or, okay, boomer. They say things like that. By the way, I've translated this for you before, that okay, boomer, or whatever. They mean, that's okay, I'd rather be stupid. I like it this way. This is Colin Kaepernick. He is that stupid kid. It's like some stupid child, some stupid ignoramus teenager boycotting and picketing a business and then going in and filling out an employment application. That's what this idiot's doing. He's using the national media to roast the NFL for something that he's imagined. He's got it all made up in his mind. And he's shocked, I tell you. He's shocked that they won't employ him. Wow. Just wow. Critics are accusing him of revealing that he's more interested in attention than football or racial equality. The backlash was led by a number of black commentators. ESPN analyst Stephen Smith Sunday posted a video to Twitter saying he don't want to play. He wants to be a martyr. By the way, Stephen Smith has taken a huge amount of grief for this. A huge amount of grief. It's amazing the amount of heat he is taking for what he has had to say. It's just incredible. According to anonymously sourced reports, even rapper Jay-Z, who reportedly pushed for Kaepernick to get the NFL workout, was disappointed that the event turned into a publicity stunt. The NFL, Kaepernick's representatives moved the workout. I told you about this the other day. They removed it from the Atlanta Falcons practice facility to a local high school after accusing the NFL of not acting in a forthright manner in organizing the workout. They said in a statement, quote, "From the outset, Mr. Kaepernick requested a legitimate process, and from the outset, the NFL league office has not provided one." Now, the other day, I read you the response. They actually did bend over backwards. They gave him concession after concession after concession. And then he decided he was going to move it to a different location just a matter of an hour or two before it was actually supposed to happen. 25 different teams, representatives from different teams, 25 teams were supposed to be at the Atlanta Falcons facility. That's where they planned to be. That's where everything was supposed to happen. A matter of a couple of hours before this occurred, he moves everything so that he can have what he wants, his particular setup that he wanted, 100% of it, even though the NFL was giving him almost everything he was asking for. He decided to move it to someplace else. so he could have his cameras there, his news, chosen news media there and the like, because he wanted publicity. This was all about him gaining publicity. He's got this gig with Nike, and he's completely irrelevant now. He can't get a football gig. What he's done is he's shot himself in the foot. Just like I said before, he is the idiot know-it-all teenager who's protested someplace, marched out front, possibly even thrown paint on the windows, that sort of a thing. He's been the vocal opposition for the business, and then he goes in and demands a job from them. Not just, I was wrong before, he's not filling out an application. He's demanding a job. He's saying, you won't give me a fair chance, man. Well, guess what? You blew your fair chance, you idiot. What a maroon, if I may quote Bugs Bunny. What an ultra maroon. The guy is just completely clueless. And the people who are standing behind him, they're also clueless. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't agree with the NFL completely. I think they've made some major mistakes. I think they've misread their audience. I think they have done things that have driven their viewership away when it comes to television viewership of games. I think they have proven by looking at the pictures and videos of the lack of crowds in the stadiums that they have managed to rub a lot of people the wrong way. People don't want to be preached at when they go to a sporting event. They don't want to be to have social justice shoved up their noses when they're at a sporting event. They go to see the game. They go to enjoy the show. It's entertainment. That's what sporting events are. They're entertainment. And people like Colin Kaepernick are capitalizing on the entertainment aspect, hoping to capture that audience to deliver their social justice message. And the people are fed up. The ticket buyers, the viewers, they're done with this. They are so done with this. If I may use one of their phrases, they can't even. They can't even with this. They are done with it. And that's the issue Kaepernick has. He has misread everything. He believes, like all progressives do, that he is right come hell or high water, he is right, and you can't prove him wrong. And he is going to continue pushing in the wrong direction until he completely blows everything out from under himself and has no support whatsoever. If he keeps this up, he's losing Nike. If he keeps this up, he's done. He will not be able to do anything. Now, his clueless supporters, his backers, the people who are, they have so much respect for him standing up and speaking truth to power, those people will always stand behind him because they're just as stupid as he is. And yes, I use the S word, stupid, because what he's doing is stupid. It can't succeed. I go back to the kid applying for the job where he just protested again. That's how dumb this is. And bless his heart, he deserves every bit of criticism he's getting now. He has dug this hole. He's over his head in it, and it's starting to fall in on him. But oh my word, he's going to go to Florida for that meeting with the NFL heads, and he's going to show them, yeah, we're going to have a tryout here. Come look. You're right. I think I'd rather go to the buffet, if you don't mind. I know I would rather go to the buffet. I don't know about you, but let's see. I got an option here. Oh, they've got lobster tails on the buffet. Jumbo shrimp. Oh my goodness. They've got Alaskan king crab legs. Let's see. Buffet. Or Colin Kaepernick's workout. Buffet. Let's see. Tasty food on the buffet. Or idiot working out. Idiot who has bad-mouthed us and bad-mouthed our league. He said terrible things about the guy who's in charge of everything we do. Let's see, what do? Do we go spend some time watching that guy throw footballs around? The people who saw him last time said he was just average. Or do we go to the Seafood Delight Buffet? It's all you can eat. Okay, the buffet wins, hands down. There's no way the buffet does not win. Because there's no way I'm wasting that time. I don't care if they're serving free hot dogs. No. I'm sorry, what, they're serving free beer too? No, I'm sorry. Hey, we're talking crab legs here, man. It's crab legs or Kaepernick? Which one is it? Oh, crab legs wins, man. Crab legs win! Hands down! Show me the buffet! Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. I think I've regained my composure. Holy cow. It's just so dumb. It's so colossally dumb. When you look at it in that particular light, when you think about it, if you're a parent and you've been the parent of a teenager, you understand the scenario I was spelling out. And that is, you've got this teenager who just cannot be convinced that you know what you're talking about. After all, you've been their age, you've done the dumb stuff, you've made the mistakes, you were them at one point. And you were convinced that adults were idiots and that you knew what you were doing. Oh yeah, right, whatever. And you've dashed headlong into the enterprise you've decided is going to be so cool and ignore your parents because they can't understand. And the progressives love playing on that, by the way, if I can make a tangent here real quick. They love playing on that youthful inexperience and the disrespect for their elders. The progressives play on that, and they tell your kids in school, they tell them you can't trust anybody over a certain age because they don't know what it's like to be your age. Hello? Those people were your age once. And contrary to what you may believe, they remember very clearly what it was like to be your age. I remember how dumb I was when I was a kid. I remember how stupid I was and the things that I did, even though people said, hey, you don't want to do that, and here's why. And I rushed headlong into it anyway. I know the things that I have pursued with complete and total passion that have turned out to be the dumbest thing I ever did. I remember those things happened when I was a teenager, the vast majority of them. When you're a teenager, you are coming to grips with that transition between being a kid and being an adult, and you have no frame of reference. So you make mistakes. You have all the energy, all the drive, all the passion, but none of the wisdom. That's why people say they wish they could be that age again, but know what they know now. I know I feel that way practically every day. I wish I had the energy and the drive I had when I was a teenager, and the wisdom I've gained from the mistakes I made when I was a teenager at the same time. And here we have this guy who somehow believes he is an NFL superstar, has decided to badmouth everybody he wants a job from. God, I have to go back and quote Bugs Bunny again. What a maroon. Well, speaking of maroons, the maroons are on parade in Washington, D.C., and I'm trying to decide. I'm looking at, honestly, I have this stack of stuff today, and every last bit of it is pertinent, it's relevant, and it means something. Let me go back to this. This is audio. There's a video that's online, and the link is in the show notes for today. So get the show notes so you can actually watch the video and see this roll by. But I want you to hear it. This is another example, a grouping of sound bites, which shows how talking points make their way into the mainstream media, into the mainstream press, and the viewership is programmed to use certain words and accept certain words because that's what the politicians want them to accept and embrace. And in this particular case, this is how quid pro quo, the Latin term quid pro quo, became bribery. Now, that's what you hear today. When you see these people talking, when you see them going through these interviews on television, they no longer use the word, or very rarely use the term, quid pro quo. They use the term bribery.
A lot of the initial messaging in all of this uproar involved the words quid pro quo. Do Democrats, congresswomen, need to fine-tune their language?
Why does everyone keep saying quid pro quo?
Yeah, who the hell knows what that means, right?
People don't get quid pro quo, which, one, is hard to say very quickly. Quid pro quo might be too complicated. And two, might get lost on some people.
I mean, it's like an SAT word.
Quid pro quo, people may not understand.
How dangerous can these hearings be for Democrats if they can't get the public to understand what happened?
Please stop saying quid pro quo.
Enough with the Latin. What Trump did was bribery.
It's not about a quid pro quo. Bribery.
Stay away from the sort of legalistic Latin arguments we've heard.
Don't use the Latin.
Don't use the Latin. Just use the word bribery instead of quid pro quo.
Instead of the quid pro quo.
The devastating testimony corroborated evidence of bribery. Quid pro quo. Bribery. Bribery.
Bribery is, for the public at large, easier to understand than quid pro quo.
This is the first time Speaker Pelosi has made the specific bribery case against Donald Trump. And several other key Democrats have also recently discussed bribery as the article of impeachment that they may lead with against Donald Trump. So this is all brand new this week.
Now, what you heard was people in the news media talking about the term quid pro quo and how it was confusing and hard to understand, and that the politicians needed to stop using that word. And the politicians have stopped using that word. You also heard, some politicians. You heard Nancy Pelosi, and she actually used the term quid pro quo and then said, well, that's bribery. Bribery. And now that's the word you hear. It's gone from quid pro quo to bribery and extortion. People understand bribery and extortion. They don't understand quid pro quo. And I might add, the reason they don't understand quid pro quo is because the government has dumbed our education system down so far that what once junior high school age students understood is now beyond the grasp of many college graduates. Quid pro quo, bribery. And that is how we transition from one thing to another. I believe that quite possibly, even though it looks like from this particular video and it sounds like from the audio that this was driven by the press, I don't think it was driven by the press. I think it was driven by consultants, leftist progressive consultants in the Democrat Party, who did some polling and realized, wow, these people are too dumb to understand what quid pro quo is. So we need to change our terminology. And the memo goes out. And the talking points go out, and the press starts talking about it, and before you know it, the terminology all changes. We've seen this happen again and again and again in the atmosphere of Washington, D.C. We've watched this happen. Now, the word bribery is being used a lot. And the problem with the word bribery is that it isn't being used actually by anybody involved with what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. And Texas Representative John Ratcliffe pointed this out very well.
The problem is, in an impeachment inquiry that the Speaker of the House says is all about bribery, where bribery is the impeachable offense, no witness has used the word bribery to describe President Trump's conduct. None of them.
Picking up a huge stack of papers.
Of the deposition transcripts.
Yeah, stacks of them.
These are just the 10 that have been released. 6 weeks of witness interviews in this impeachment inquiry. Hundreds of hours of testimony. Thousands of questions asked. Thousands of answers given. The number of times that witnesses have been asked any question about whether or not President Trump's conduct constituted bribery before Ambassador Yovanovitch was asked by my colleague Congressman Stewart last Thursday is zero. The number of times witnesses have used the word bribery or bribe to describe President Trump's conduct in the last 6 weeks of this inquiry is zero. In fact, in these 3,500 pages of sworn deposition testimony and just these 10 transcripts released thus far, the word bribery appears in these 3,500 pages exactly one time. And ironically, it appears not in a description of President Trump's alleged conduct. It appears in a description of Vice President Biden's alleged conduct.
Interesting. The bribery terminology isn't there. It just isn't there when describing President Trump. But it is there when describing Joe Biden. Yes, that is one of those things that make you go, So, terminology is important. And terminology has to be understandable. And we see that what's happening right now in front of our very eyes is what always happens when the Democrats are running things. They choose the terminology and then they set the pace and they set the agenda and they tell everybody what terminology to use. Even when the terminology isn't actually being used in the case under examination. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Mark Congleton here. I'm trying to pull up some audio. Just give me, just a second. You know what? Can I just be honest with you? Something that really rubs me the wrong way. You know I'm going to tell you. And that is when you open up something online, like you open a page, you open whatever, you know, you open something up and it opens another page on top of the page you're looking at. I mean, it covers the entire page up. I get it. I get that you have to have ad revenue, but and I don't mind it if it happens immediately. I mean, it pops up and then nothing works. You know, you're trying to click on things and nothing really works until that pop-up comes up and then you can clear it and move forward. That's okay. But you people who put them in and I know how this works because I manage websites as part of what I do. Those who use the ones that are on a 5-second delay, so you can actually scan through the site. Okay, you start reading, yada, yada, yada. He said this and that and this. And nuts! There's this pop-up ad. And that happened when this story, I'm opening this story and I forgot because when I opened it, when I was looking at it earlier, it did the same thing to me. And so I shuffled this story to the front because I wanted to touch on this after talking about the news media and what they've done and how they define things. Because I thought, okay, this is a better fit than what I had lined up. So let's go this direction. And I opened it up and while the music is playing, the whole page goes crazy and I can't see anything. I'm trying to pull up this YouTube link so that I can play you the audio from it and nothing happened. Let's talk about this. House Intelligence Committee Ranking Member Devin Nunes used his opening statement yesterday to rip into the media's coverage of the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump, suggesting that the press operates in lockstep with the Democrat Party. And we have the audio of that right here. It starts with Representative Adam Schiff.
Whether those acts are compatible with the office of the presidency. I now recognize Ranking Member Nunes for any remarks he'd like to make.
Thanks, gentlemen. I'd like to address a few brief words to the American people watching at home. If you watched the impeachment hearings last week, you may have noticed a disconnect between what you actually saw and the mainstream media accounts describing it. When you saw three diplomats who dislike President Trump's Ukraine policy discussing second-hand and third-hand conversations about their objections with the Trump policy. Meanwhile, they admitted they had not talked to the president about these matters, and they were unable to identify any crime or impeachable offense the president committed. But what you read in the press were accounts of shocking, damning, and explosive testimony that fully supports the Democrats' accusations. If these accounts have a familiar ring, it's because this is the same preposterous reporting the media offered for 3 years on the Russian hoax. On a nearly daily basis, the top news outlets in America reported breathlessly on the newest bombshell revelations showing that President Trump and everyone surrounding him were Russian agents. It really wasn't long ago that we were reading these headlines from CNN: Congress investigating Russian investment fund with ties to Trump officials. This was false. New York Times: Trump campaign aides had repeated contacts with Russian intelligence. Also false. Slate: was a Trump server communicating with Russia. This was false. New York Magazine: will Trump be meeting with his counterpart or his handler? This was false. The Guardian: Manafort held secret talks with Assange and Ecuadorian embassy. Also false. BuzzFeed: President Trump directed his attorney to lie to Congress about the Moscow Tower project. All of these were false. There was no objectivity or fairness in the media's Russia stories, just as a fevered rush to tarnish and remove a president who refuses to pretend that the media are something different from what they really are: puppets of the Democratic Party. With their biased misreporting on the Russia hoax, the media lost confidence of millions of Americans, and because they refused to acknowledge how badly they botched the story, they've learned no lessons and simply expect Americans will believe them as they try to stoke yet another partisan frenzy. In previous hearings, I've outlined three questions the Democrats and the media don't want asked or answered. Instead of shedding light on these crucial questions, the media are trying to smother and dismiss them. Those questions start with: what is the full extent of the Democrats' prior coordination with the whistleblower, and who else did the whistleblower coordinate this effort with? The media have fully accepted the Democrats.
And that's the clip that's on YouTube right now. His comments, as the ranking member, came at the start of the third public impeachment hearings related to the July 25 phone call between Trump and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. Democrats have alleged that Trump used the phone call to convince Zelensky to investigate Hunter Biden's business activities in the country. Vice President Mike Pence's foreign policy aide Jennifer Williams and Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman testified yesterday. And oddly enough, when asked, both of them said, no, that didn't happen. How about that? The Democrats accidentally undermined their own case against President Donald Trump yesterday when one of their star witnesses, Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, confirmed Ukraine felt no pressure from the administration. The House Intelligence Committee's counsel, Daniel Goldman, tried to establish that President Trump had pressured Ukraine to investigate former Vice President Joe Biden solely or primarily for the potential political benefit. However, his questioning of Vindman didn't quite go as planned, and here's how it went. Goldman: Colonel Vindman, you've said in your deposition that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see the political benefits of the president's demands. For those of us who aren't rocket scientists, can you explain what you meant by that? Vindman: so my understanding is that it was the connection to investigating to a political opponent was inappropriate and improper. I made that connection as soon as the president brought up the Biden investigation. Goldman: Colonel Vindman, you testified that the president, President Trump's request for a favor from President Zelensky could be considered as a demand to President Zelensky. After his call, did you ever hear from any Ukrainians, either in the United States or Ukraine, about any pressure that they felt to do these investigations that President Trump demanded? Vindman: not that I can recall. Goldman: did you have any discussions with officials at the embassy here, the Ukrainian embassy here in Washington, D.C.? Vindman: yes, I did. Goldman: did you discuss at all the demand for investigations with them? Goldman: I did not. Vindman went on to say that he became aware in the August timeframe that the Ukrainian officials became aware of a hold on U.S. aid. Multiple other witnesses have testified that the Ukrainians were not aware until August 28th, when Politico published an article stating that aid had been stalled. So, there was no pressure. There was no demand. There was no quid pro quo or bribery or extortion. Pick your terminology. PJ Media has an article that I think shed some interesting light. The big moment Tuesday, yesterday, was during the testimony of Lieutenant Colonel, that is, and I can't get him wrong. He don't like it if you don't address him properly. Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman, who gets very upset if not addressed properly, when Adam Schiff interrupted him, claiming to want to protect the identity of the whistleblower, he says he doesn't know. What's strange about this part of the testimony is that Vindman already testified under oath that he did not know the identity of the whistleblower. How could he out the identity of the whistleblower if he doesn't know who it is? Further, Schiff also claims to not know the identity of the super-secret whistleblower, but he stopped Vindman from identifying the person he says he spoke to in the intelligence community about the Ukrainian phone call. Vindman stated he spoke to two U.S. officials with appropriate need to know, Department of State, Department Secretary George Kent, and an individual in the intelligence community, when Devin Nunes asked him to identify which intelligence community the second person was in. Adam Schiff interrupted him and instructed the witness not to continue, lest he out the whistleblower everyone claims not to know. Quote, "We need to protect the whistleblower. I want to advise the witness accordingly." There were groans, grumbling around the gallery. And after that interruption, Vindman refused to answer the question. Quote, "On advice of counsel," end quote. A lot of us would like to know the answer to Nunes' next question, which was, "You said in your deposition that you did not know who the whistleblower was. How is it possible for you to name these people and out the whistleblower?" What's clear is that no one believes that Schiff doesn't know who the whistleblower is. Representative Jim Jordan, the Republican from Ohio, had a good moment calling him out on that whopper. He said, "You have said, though no one believes you, that you don't know who the whistleblower is. So how is this outing the whistleblower?" The president also weighed in, retweeting Representative Steve Scalise, who said, "Schiff just shut down ranking member Devin Nunes to advise one of his star witnesses on how to answer a question about the whistleblower. But Schiff likes to claim he doesn't know who the whistleblower is. So then, how would he know Nunes is asking about the whistleblower?" When you sit back and you think about this clown show, this dog and pony show, this kangaroo court, it becomes more and more obvious that Schiff is lying, that Vindman is lying, that this is all manufactured, and that, God love them, they're just trying to pull a president out of office that the American people decided they wanted in office. It's very obvious. It's all just a show. The people are bored with it, and the only people who are engaged in it are people like you and I, who care about the truth and want to show our friends who aren't engaged the truth. And those people who are tangentially interested in this on the left, who just use the stories and the quotes to substantiate their positions in social media. You and I need to be paying attention. Because the more attention you pay to this, the more obvious it is that the Democrats are lying through their teeth about everything. Do not adjust your audio. There's the other channel. This is the Daily Perspective. Hi there, Mark Congleton here. Diving into the final segment for this midweek edition of the podcast. There's a piece of audio I want to play for you before I go any further because I've got it set up here and I've been wanting to play it the entire time we've been together, and I just need to play it for you. The Trump administration and the Trump campaign is using these hearings to campaign for 2020. And this is one of the campaign ads. And this one, I think, dropped yesterday.
This impeachment is a charade. Just 10 days after President Trump was inaugurated, the whistleblower's lawyer Mark Zaid wrote that the coup has started and impeachment will follow. That's right. The whistleblower's own lawyer wrote, the coup has started and impeachment will follow. They promised a coup, and now they're trying to carry it out. The Democrats are trying to overthrow President Trump, undo the 2016 election, and silence our voices. Don't let them.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
And I think that ad sums things up very nicely. From the very beginning, they designed a coup to undermine the presidency of Donald Trump because their candidate did not win. I've said this before, but let me say it just another time. I'll say it again. I know I will. The reason we are here, the reason we are talking about this right now, is because something didn't happen that the Democrats wanted to happen. You see, this was said in, when was it, 2008. This was said in 2008. And it, I believe, is the cornerstone of everything we're watching happen right now. Everything. In a speech to a loving crowd, Barack Obama said this.
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
You see, the Democrats were hoping that the 8 years of Barack Obama would continue under the next figurehead that they would place in office, to be the person who would stand before the television cameras, to be the person who would address Congress when it was time for a State of the Union address, the person who would be the face on television and in all news media to represent who's really making all the changes and doing everything, and that is the progressives. The progressive movement has been working towards fundamentally transforming the United States of America for a long, long, long time. They've just admitted it in the last few years. So the progressives were confident that Hillary Clinton was going to win. Remember, 98% lock on the presidency up until election night. They were saying, it's 98%. Trump's only got a 2% chance. 98%. It was a lie. A very widely spread, distributed lie. It was everywhere. They believed it. Their pets in the progressive press believed it. Your friends, your socialist progressive friends on social media believed it. It was a lock. Because they knew that Hillary Clinton was the only chance they had to continue the work done through Barack Obama over the past 8 years, and that they were going to continue it, that they would do things like stack the Supreme Court so that no one would ever have a chance again of having a truly fair constitutional ruling on a case presented to the Supreme Court. They were going to eliminate the Electoral College, which would guarantee progressive wins from now on. They had all kinds of plans, things that were going to happen. They knew that they would be successful. After all, the Obama administration had ruled by executive order for 8 years. The Obama administration terrorized people, reporters, investigated reporters, refused to have anything to do with certain news outlets. they treated the press far, far worse than Trump has, and did so for 8 years. But the press said, "Thank you, sir. Can I have another? Please hit me again. I like it." Because they're all progressives working for the same cause. And now we're seeing the obviousness of it, thanks to Donald Trump standing up to them. Thanks to him standing up to them. And these hearings are just further proof. Nothing is coming out of these hearings. Nothing that proves anything they claim. Nothing. PJ Media has an article that's in the show notes today. I encourage you to get it. It is 10 reasons Vindman's testimony was bad for Democrats. Number 10, Vindman admitted that the president, not unelected bureaucrats, set U.S. policy. They're all wringing their hands, clutching their pearls, gasping, how dare he ignore all the experts? Well, it's the president's job to set policy, not them. Number 9, Vindman admitted he never had contact with President Trump. Yeah, he's never had contact with the president. Number 8, Vindman admitted having no firsthand knowledge of aid or an investigation and was just following news accounts. That's where he got his information, the New York Times. Number 7, Vindman admitted Trump was well within his rights to ask Ukraine for help in an investigation. That pretty much negates the entire need for this impeachment inquiry, doesn't it? If Trump was within his rights to seek assistance in an investigation, then he did nothing wrong. Number 6, Vindman admitted that putting the transcript of the Ukraine call on a secure server was definitely not unprecedented. But the Democrats claimed that was part of a cover-up. We've learned the contrary. The opposite is actually true. It's common practice. Number 5, Vindman admitted the Trump-Zelensky transcript was very accurate. Remember how Democrats made a big stink that the Trump-Zelensky transcript wasn't a transcript at all, but a memo? Apparently, they wanted us to believe that the call could have been much more sinister than we actually know about. Well, so much for that theory. Number 4, Vindman admitted he has never used the term bribery to describe the president's actions. Back then, bribery hadn't been focus group tested. It wasn't the term of choice. The talking points hadn't been issued. We've already explored that with that audio clip, remember? Number 3, Vindman said he couldn't recall Ukrainians feeling pressured to do investigations. Kind of hard to claim that they were pressured when there's no evidence they felt pressured. In fact, they actually said, "No, we didn't feel any pressure." They've actually said so, using those words. Number 2, Vindman said, "As far as I can tell, Hunter Biden was not qualified to serve on Burisma's board." But, you know, Biden's running for president now, so we can't investigate why he was there. And that's the true dirt in this entire story, is that Hunter Biden and Joe Biden were using the incredibly corrupt Ukraine government to launder money. Millions of dollars into their pockets. Where's that investigation? And finally, the number one reason, the top 10 reasons that Vindman was a bad news for the Democrats in these hearings. The number one reason, Vindman said there was an appearance of a conflict of interest with Hunter Biden being on the Burisma board. In fact, every single witness who has testified has been asked this question and has said yes. There was the appearance of conflict of interest. But oh no, we can't talk about that. Oh no, no. We can't talk about that. This is all about throwing mud at Donald Trump. The truth is being revealed. And thank goodness we can see it happening. Hey, God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday edition of the podcast. God bless. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.